feel will stick my claim on your holy name. Oh, how I love you. Amen. One more time. Jesus, I love you so. What a great love he has loved us with. The Bible says herein is the love of God. Not that we first loved him, but he first loved us and gave himself to be the propitiation for our sins. Father, we bow our hearts with thanksgiving. We lift our hands in praise. Lord, our hearts are glad, Father, because you have loved us, Lord. And Lord God, that is what matters for us. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? How shall he not freely give us all things? If he spared not his own son, but gave him freely for us all. Oh, rejoice today to stand in your presence. We've come into your courts with praise. We come into your gates with thanksgiving. We come into the fruits of our lips giving praise and thanks. We come, oh God, to honor you and to magnify your name today. May, dear God, the house of God be made glad today, Father. Let the river flow. Let the streams of the river make the city of God glad today. Oh, we praise you and we thank you. You said, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And he that is a thirst, let him come and drink of the river of the water of life freely. For the spirit and the bride say, come. Oh, we glorify you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a great thing to have the joy of salvation. To know your path from death unto life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me will not come into condemnation, but have passed from death unto life. What a great thing to know that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, can quicken you and change you, circumcise you, and the old things are passed when all things become new. Just like God gave Abraham that type, circumcision on the eighth day, took that sharp knife and cut away the flesh. Bring him up to a new spiritual order. Give him the H, part of God's own life. Change his name. Place him as a son of God. What a great thing that was. What God do for Abraham, he do for all Abraham's seed. How many knows that? And if you are Abraham's seed, you are heirs with him according to the promise of the living God. And through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Are you expecting the promise for this hour? Are you looking for it? Do you believe that you are contending for it? Do you believe that God is doing a work in your life? He'll bring that thing to pass. How many can stand and say, I stagger not through unbelief, but I'm strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God. Amen. Oh, my, I was reading something the other morning. The prophet was saying, he said, think of it, Abraham goes stronger for 25 years. He said, we go weaker in one night. He said he looked at his own symptoms for 25 years and was growing stronger every day. Considered his own body now dead. He said, yet we see our little symptoms of this, our little symptoms. I ain't healed. I ain't sure what's happened to me. I ain't have God in my life. And we go weak in one night. He said, and then we claim to be Abraham's seed. Oh, may God help us today. Amen. We want to have rugged faith in this hour. Glory be to God. My, what a great thing. Believe in God for an almost impossible thing to happen. He says, we like to say, with God, all things are possible. There's nothing impossible with God. He said, but you know something we say not about God, but you know what God said about us? He said, God said, with you, nothing shall be impossible. Because if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, whatsoever you ask God in prayer, believe it, he shall give it unto you. If you say. So we like to throw it on God to kind of glorify God. Say, God, throw it back on you. Amen. Oh, my. That's what the Holy Ghost means in the life of a believer. That's what having the Holy Ghost is. When you look at them places in the Word, and then you come into consideration of it, and then you know God don't speak idle words and God cannot lie, and then you believe that you are a believer, you are an elected one, it should send you to prayer. It should keep you in meditation. God, that is what you're saying about the believer in this day? Let those thoughts govern my life. Let it influence me. Let it shape and mold me. Bind it upon my forehead. Amen. Let it be the revelation in my heart. Let it be the thing that I'm on the expectation for night and day. Let it be the utterance of my prayer. Amen. Let it be the subject of my fellowship one with the other. Let it be the testimony that I can give. Amen. That this is the word of Almighty God. And I know, but not one of his words will fall to the ground. You ain't ought to believe that. You're beginning to become a believer to believe that. Because what is a believer? The faith of God that moves in you. Not your faith, the faith of God. Not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live now in this flesh, since I've been quickened and raised up, since I passed from death unto life. The life I live now in this flesh, even though it's still subject to corruption, yet turned heavenly, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God. Because the new birth gives you his faith. You add to your faith. You don't add faith, you add to your faith. The faith of God is an act that God has done in you by quickening you and raising you up to recognize your position. Could you say amen? Do you know that's the truth this morning? Blessed be his wonderful name. May the Lord bless you with his word. May you have your seat. I have a dedication. That's what I was trying to think in my mind. Should I have it now? Should I not have it now? Then I think, okay, maybe I'll leave it for the end of the service. Our precious brother and sister, Fortune, want to dedicate the baby, and I think the dedication here kind of stuck in my mind just now. It seems that when you get a note like this for dedication, you know the parents have certainly been dealt with by God, because it's such an experience in the naming of the child, and it shows the faith and the expectation, and it reflects how God have dealt with them. And maybe there could even be something here for the believers, the church. You know that is scriptural in the Bible. God tell Isaiah, name your child this, because this is going to happen with Israel. Name your child this, because this is going to happen with them. God tell Hosea the same thing. Name your child this, because this is going to happen with Israel. And so they give me something here. Give me dedicated seed. God, give them dedicated seed that is coming to a spiritual awakening in the season of the plotting of the siege. So they have some names, and it's Hebrew names, I believe. Ahaya, give me seed, from Genesis 30, verse 1. Oh, that's out of the Hebrew word where Rachel, or one of them, I believe, Leah, one say, God, give me seed. Enoch, dedicated. And I hope I'm saying this right. Teshuya, coming to a spiritual awakening from a designated plot. From Esther chapter 3. So when Haman had a plot to destroy the seed, the elected seed, you know, something happened. Esther came to an awakening of a plot to destroy the people of God. And I guess maybe all this even reflects our present experiences and these things. And you know, God has maybe dealt with them in that way. So it's very nice to see people don't take the experiences as ordinary Trinidadians, but they're following the spiritual heritage in the Word and understanding the experiences in the time and season, because they are part of the Word for the age. And that's a great thing. And, you know, when you have people who dedicate themselves to the message and believe the message, and, you know, they're walking in truth, it's not just spiritualizing and playing around with things in their mind, but it's people who, I believe, because remember, it's a child now, and your child is something special in your family. You're not just going to give your child some name for just anything, but you have to be dealt with, because what you call your child, even the name, has an influence upon the children. You know that. So that's a wonderful thing. So we are thankful to be here this morning, and we want to greet all of you believers and strangers and visitors. And you know, this morning is my last service for about 10 days or 8 days or so. I leave in the morning for the meetings in Edmonton, and that's a international meeting. I'll have the opportunity to meet many of the ministers from overseas, Africa, India, Philippines, different places, Europe, New Zealand, different places. And I'm supposed to be speaking in the meeting as well. And so I covered your prayers, that you remember me in prayer. And you certainly would hold me up, because, as I says, I'm just desiring to say something that could be of benefit to the bride in this hour. I don't believe in this hour a minister just want to go to the pulpit to preach a message. I believe you want to lead the church forward. I always think of the prophet. He says, in 1965, he was saying, I come to lead the church into deeper thoughts and high objectives. He said, I come to reawaken the church to the coming of Jesus Christ. After the seven seals had opened, people still wasn't waking up to it yet. Thunders were uttering their voices, yet it was so simple, it passed right through them. They was asking, would the thunders be given to some great man, Brother Bram? Would it be some revelation? He said, that's what these seals was all about. Jack Mondo was saying, fast and pray, we need a prophet. He said, they have failed to see the awakening of the bride. They're still thinking in Pentecostal terms. See? And the prophet was saying, I cannot bring you a Baptist message. I cannot bring you a Methodist message at bright time. The seed is laying there waiting for the type of water that is given for the seed. So I have to bring you a bride message for you to recognize your day and recognize your message, and that the presence of Jesus Christ would not be unrecognized. He said, that's what I want to see, to recognize his presence among you. There's a man here that can turn on the light. A greater than Solomon is here. He was introducing this mighty one who had descended to us. And people were still thinking of going to church. And, you know, which church they're from. And I wonder how this service is. And what's, and they were still in that humanistic realm. They hadn't come up into the realm of revelation to understand modern events being made clear by vindicated prophecy. So they were stumbling over the simplicity of these things. And you think of it now in the year 2000, what it is. Think of it. Some people still are wanting the seventh seal open. Some people think it's not open. Some people think the great power of God is going to come one of these days and hit the church, and we'll send people around the world, and we'll do great things, and we'll clean up hospitals, and we'll go down the streets and clean up, you know, truckload of wheelchairs, and maybe we'll have people all through San Fernando, and we'll stand in our hotel room and the mayor with us, and we'll, you know, they'll be singing Only Believe, you know, going to UNC, PNM, you know, A&R. But not that kind of business. Not that kind of thing, man. But if the rapture will take place, people will say, wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? He says, already gone, you don't even know it. Just like John, arguing, wait until you see, Elias must first come. He said, Elias already come, and you don't even know he come already. See? And that's what's happening, friends. That's what's happened. That's why the first part was so simple and had so much vindication. Angels coming, whirlwind tearing up mountains, sword dropping in the prophet's hand, squirrels being created, and the world didn't know it. Think of it. And the world didn't know it. Night after night on the platform. Platform performance. And the world couldn't recognize it. He said, God being misunderstood and recognized presence, true sign overlook. They want to convince us. I'm past convincing. I get pregnant because I can get pregnant with nothing else. My mind is fixed. I stop looking when I found the Messiah. Everything is in the Messiah. Everything is in the Messiah. When the prophet said, who do you say this is? He said, the word anointed makes Messiah. He introduced Messiah to us. He says, the Russians looking for Messiah to destroy the Americans. The Americans looking for Messiah to destroy the Russians. He said, different people looking for a great Messiah to lead them out in different things. He said, God, you're a crying baby in a manure pile. The word born into manifestation, but they didn't even know it was there. Theologians didn't know it was there, but shepherds were visited by the angel who directed them where to find the Messiah. My, just feeling good. Feel like I'm getting meeting ready. Amen. My, see, what you looking for, friends? What you looking for? Pray for revelation. Pray for understanding. We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. We look to the unseen. How many know that's my birth? Looking to the unseen. Still looking to the unseen. Still following the seven dove. Still tied to my absolute. Yes, sir. All these years, that's nothing but the truth, Brother Vin. We are resting on that. We are resting on that. That's the message. That's the testimony. Amen. But you could tell Peter and them something after they see Messiah. You could tell Thomas and them something after they touch him and handle him. But you could tell Mary Magdalene that, but even though Peter didn't believe, even though Philip didn't believe, Nathaniel didn't believe, Thomas didn't believe, the laugh of that James and John didn't believe, you think it shake her? But as she held on, I saw him after he rose. I saw the seal pull back. Amen. You can change her mind. She don't care what dignitary and person. She didn't care whether you walk with him or not. She met him after he rose. He called her by her name. My. That's what it is. That's what it is. You see, you have to know what you believe. Paul said, I know in whom I believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God bless you, Brother Allen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. Brother Alwin Allen, we're glad to have him this morning again. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Praise God. Need to be in the house of God more often. Amen. He's going to be here. He's going to keep being here. Amen. I remember when you come in the message, Brother Sammy, they remember this. There's an old man named Brother Nash. Brother Wesley will know him. Brother Nash is sitting there and prophesy right in the seat. Sure. One of them lap over us from the Pentecostal age. Come and believe the message there. And I remember Brother OJ always be listening to him. And he'd tell people when they're next to Brother Nash. He said, write down what he's saying. Write down what he's saying. And this man was no joke, man. We know the man. He's a stand up there, little bony man, and standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. I still remember that from 1973, the 27 years after. Sure, God have some to walk among us, old ones. That love the Lord. Sometimes, you know, when they go through, just like when a woman go through menopause, sometimes you go through a little senility and these things. And it sort of affect your balance and your focus. And, you know, you Brother Neville in the tabernacle had the same experience. Here's a man that sound prophesying the house of God and these things. And then here he was going through that stage of his life. And it seemed like the man is out of his mind because he's talking things here, talking things here. But the thing is, remember, brother, you could be what condition in that body, that soul, amen, that believe this message. Hallelujah! That's the man that God is working on. That's the real thing there. That outside thing have nothing to do with it. That grow old with age. But that gene is eternal inside there. That could never grow old, not one second. Amen. And sometimes believers who are not trained and not taught, they look at those and they stumble and they talk things and then they get discouraged in different things. Time we see people grow up, amen, who can go past them things and get a person's soul and contact them and fellowship with them and realize we have been called out to walk in such a place with Almighty God as the bride of Jesus Christ. And that's a great responsibility. Amen. That's a great responsibility. My. May God bless us. May we hunger for the deeper things of God. May we long to fly, not just sit in the nest. Amen. And wait for becoming so big until somebody has got to tear up the meat and put it inside our mouth. May we learn to hunt our food. Amen. May we get rugged. Glory. May we observe every move Mama makes. How she shut her wings. How she used the air current. How she not intimidated by no coyote or none of these things. May we watch them things and may we grow. Because little Junior, when he's in the barn and he saw that great screaming eagle coming and he thought he was a chicken. But I don't believe maybe that first jump on the barnyard post, he said, praise God, hallelujah, make it, and not on the ground no more. No. He want to fly. Them eagles make backflips. If you ever see them documentaries on eagles, but they be flying, they make a backflips, couple backflips, sometimes like that, and destroy them coyotes with lightning speed, pick them fish up. You want to know what kind of thing is that? They do it with style. My, you think that's a Paul said, I'll try something here tonight. Is he turned his back? He said, now in Genesis 18, the man back was to the tent. Glory be to God in the highest. My, he said, that Paul was preaching and seeing that man having faith. I think ministers, when you're preaching, you wanna if you're preaching the word and the word is striking, there must be people who is catching faith, because faith comes by the hearing and the hearing by the word. And when you see faith and you get a connection, like I was talking with a young man the other night, you can say, sir, I perceive you have faith. Rise to your feet. Amen. Why? Because you're expecting people to catch faith. Because out of your faith, you're giving virtue to strengthen them. And you have knowledge to know that God is present and what God can do. Amen. He's the same as great as he is now, as he'll be in the next millennium. Amen. And that's how the apostles preach. Paul perceiving had a whole congregation there, but he zeroed on one man. He felt the power. He got a connection. Amen. Like Jesus in a multitude, I perceive virtue going out to me. It's coming from somewhere. They could catch that. And that's why you come in service of power. You come in service of breakthrough and get a hole. That's the way you approach God. You come like a pit bull. Amen. You take a grip on God and you refuse to let go. They could beat you in your head, wet you down, but I'll shoot you and kill you to get that, to let go of that. You ain't letting go of that at all. Amen. But like a vice, it's trapped there. You ain't letting go of that for nothing. Amen. That's the kind of attitude you want. Amen. Glory. You get this kind of attitude, you get scared, you run off today, believe it tomorrow, next 10 minutes, you believe that, next day, believe that. What kind of thing is that? That's hybrid faith. Hey, you want faith like a grain of mustard seed. Where you get a barrel of hybrid faith? Just give me faith like a grain of mustard seed. A little bit of the kind that can be hybridized. Give me quality faith, amen. That's the kind you want. Glory. So I'm not really preaching this morning, but I'm sharing the service. I'm taking half. Already give that instructions from the nest. Amen. See, I'm getting ready to leave. I must leave my house in order. Amen. So I just want to talk to you a little bit and cheer you up and encourage you and strengthen your faith. And amen. And so by the grace of God, we are happy to be in his house. Amen. You settling in? Settling fine? How many of a special need here this morning? Let me see. See, all over the building. Look at that. All over the building. People come here expecting. I was coming a little late this morning. You know, just sometimes. And coming right behind there, I noticed the Maxi El Harp. I said, that's the same from Cedrus. It just reinforced the thing to me so strong. I says, my, look at the distance the people are traveling, coming from to hear the word. We can't come here and play the fool. We can't come here and waste people's time. And, we have to make sure, but it comes from Valencia, comes from Guagliari, comes from Carnage, comes from Cedras. See, you want to make sure when they walk in them doors, and then you too, when you come, you want to come in that attitude as well. See, because we're in a late time, friends. We have needs. Sometimes we don't get desperate and say, today is today. I've checked out myself. I've evaluated my situation. I've made a clean-cut decision. I've come in full surrender to God. I've settled it in my heart today. I'm putting it. I've filled out my form. I've put it in the hands of God. It's settled. I'm waiting for God to respond to my faith. I'm here in expectations to receive from Him. He will meet with you. You believe that? Yes. Let me tell you, you walk in a parlor, right? I'm sure many of you had this experience. You walk in a shop, you walk in a parlor, you walk in some snacket, you walk in around some little person selling boiled corn, where there are 20 people gathered around there, 10 in the parlor, 15 in the supermarket, you line up there. From the time you line up there, with your trolley full of goods, you get all what you need, you have to pay for it to get out. You go with your whole big grocery list, you mark off what you need, you have a little calculator sometimes, you don't know embarrassment when you get there, you don't have enough money, you have to leave back something. So well, I come up here, I have some kidney problem and a headache. You know, so when I come up, I can't pay for the kidney problem, I only have enough money for the headache. Say, so, I leave the kidney problem and walk away with the healing for the headache. Say, thank God, he's still healed for the headache. See, you want to know you have enough. You want to know you have enough. You check your wallet. You ain't just buying wild and going far beyond your buying power. You don't want that kind of thing. Is that right? It just shows that with the money, your zeal overtake you. Your enthusiasm gets you on a high. All the labels attract you and influence you. And you don't realize every little green sticker, and that is not for decoration. That's the price. That's the value for the commodity. And that person sit down there, ain't just sit down there playing with a little, thing in front of them, a little computer or something. That person there is going to stop you right there. A security guard standing there, but all dressed in army boots and everything else to make sure you don't leave without that paying for that goods. Well, it's the same way, friends. You see, your natural life, you go through these things every day and you miss it. And you come into service sometimes, you don't realize what is your attitude, what are you expecting to receive, what are you expecting to go with. That's why that woman who come for the healing of her daughter, she wasn't going back. She knows she had what it takes. He says, it's not right for me to give the children bread to the dogs. I'm to you. I ain't sent to you to begin. Get next to yourself, woman. You crazy or something? I come to my own people here. This for the children bread. Make her feel bad, embarrass her, Gentile. Trying to call him son of David when he's not even that to her. You think that's going to move her? Not even God can move she. God standing in the flesh. You know what God is trying to show? Gentile faith can move God any day, any time. Look at the Roman centurion. You know what God is trying to show? Gentile faith. I have not found such a great faith. No, not in all Israel. But of course, we're looking for the promise and we're not looking at the attitude we ought to have to receive the promise. We're not looking at the faith we ought to have to receive the promise. We are looking and say, boy, I tell you, God, don't lie. I tell you, God, I have to bring the password. We say all these things about God. I tell you, God will never back down not one promise. I tell you, God means business. I tell you, God, not no foolishness this morning. All that about God is right. But you're forgetting the part about the believer had to be right too. And God saying the believer will not move, even though God tell them they can't get now. Amen. The believer will stand here. Amen. If they know they have need of that thing, and they know he's trying them, and they know he's testing them, and they're watching their attitude, they'll stand flat-footed, being certain of God. God is saying that about the believer too. But you read the scripture one-sided. You read it one-sided, and then you walk up and say, you see, God, I love me. Look what God say. Look what God say. And I quote that in prayer. You quote in. You ain't believing, you're quoting. Quoting is not believing. Believing about
attitude works in Fake Express. Are we getting some attitude in? Are we getting some attitude in line up here by the grace of God? Then we can expect something from God, amen? Then we ain't just coming to hear, are you a sermon hearer or you want to see Jesus? Or you want to see the word operate? What are you? What is your pull for? You come to tickle your intellectual mind this morning? You come to hear, you come with a big fat notebook and markers? You come to take down a bunch of notes for 2 hours? You want to go outside and explain all your revelations? Or you come here to see God come down and do something for you and give you that extra that you have need of this morning? What are you expecting? Amen. But if we could get that attitude right, we only need 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You need 5 minutes because you get in the presence of God. You get beyond the veil. You get beyond the fear and the reasoning and what is happening, how you feel and your symptoms and what the doctors say, what your friends say. And you get desperate to a place and the veil drop around you and you see the blood in the mercy seat. Amen. Showing that God's justice is satisfied and the kind of glory hanging over that blood as great as he ever was to meet with any son and daughter of God who can come through that veil. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Something is going to happen. You will leave with something. It will not just be service for you. It will not just be an attendance and you went through the sermon and you lasted and you praise yourself and mark yourself high because you didn't sleep and go to the toilet during the service. No. You'll be rejoicing because you're going on your way. Here your heart is fixed. Amen. Glory be to God. You're going because you have received something from the Lord. It still is the truth, friends. We still have to get in the attitude. Young people, you still have to get hungry. You still have to come to service. When you come to service, you ain't no wallflower. You ain't no ornament inside of here. You ain't come to decorate yourself and sit down there and look all glossy and nice like somebody, like a cartoon or some little Mickey Mouse or something. No, you come in the house of God with rugged faith. Amen. You know, there's the hour. Amen. There's a new generation, the new crop. Hallelujah. But if the new crop is growing from the head, that's the time to pray sincere. That's the time to pray in dead earnest. That's the time to pray crying once more, Lord. Hallelujah! Glory! So the new crop just can't be, you know, all nice on the outside. The new crop has to have some attitude on the inside. God bless you. I'm glad to see you. Amen. I was talking to a young lady here last week. So nice. So nice to be in the house of God today. Friends, let me tell you something. We are in the hour. Some of you strangers, come in. You're coming for something. There's something real here. I want you to know there's something real in this place. Now, you might come in and see a lot of things that ought not to be here. Let me say that. Don't let it disturb you. You listen to what is being said, and you will know what is supposed to be here. You see, sometimes Satan holds some people in disobedience. Sometimes Satan comes along to create a scarecrow to throw people off for the real thing. Don't get taken by the scarecrow. You ain't no crow. If it's an eagle, go past all the scarecrows and you get a hold of the reality. Amen. What you come for, you get your heart fixed on it. Glory be to God in the highest. Scarecrows is only the scarecrows. Amen. But you're an eagle, brother. You have an attitude. Amen. Nothing's going to scare you off. You come with a determination. You come to get a hold of something real by the grace of Almighty God. If you elect, you're just like me. Come in there. Remember the days of Brother Sam and myself. I seen Brother Gossus outside. See, many of these brothers, we're looking for something. We go from place to place. See? We go from place to place looking for something. In and out. We couldn't take denomination. It didn't have the ring. It didn't have the look. We wanted something not with tinsel and shine. We wanted something that had a reality to it. Something that when they expose naked before you, you see the thing in its real quality. You see the value of the thing. When you look and see the kind of vices that grip you, because the part of Sodom we was coming from was from very deep. And so we needed something real to wash us clean, to break every hole, to raise us with resurrection power, to rapture us out of that condition. Amen. And but when we found the message, that was it. We saw that reality. And I know you might, many of you who are sitting here this morning as a stranger, you might have darkened the door of many organizations. This might not be your first church service. You might be in different places. It may look like the same. People rejoicing and having fun, but listen close. Listen close. Listen from your heart. And if you listen from your heart and the Holy Spirit speaking from my heart or anybody's heart who stand here, that life will connect with that life. That word will be a record. As long as it's the word in the Bible, it will be a record with you, because my sheep will hear my voice. Hallelujah! And if God said that and no man can come except the Father draw him, and God brings you for a reason and purpose, then it's because he wants that word to be spoken to you. And when that word is spoken to you, it brings a charge. And you know, that's Papa talking to me. That's my God. That's the reality I'm looking for. Then you'll recognize what elect is. Amen. It's not the outside flesh here. It's something in your heart with that word. Something in your heart. He'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You have needs this morning. I want you to believe. I want you to expect to receive these things. You see, when God gives truth in a certain season, and the nature of truth that God gives reveals the attitude of the Spirit, and it reveals how God wants to deal with the people. Because the truth God reveals is God talking to you from a certain part of the Bible. And if he's talking to you from a certain part of the Bible, fellowshipping with you around a certain subject, then the will and the intent, the mind of the Spirit is being communicated to you. Then the attitude of the hearer is, if Father is telling me that and want me to look in these places, then there's something there that I must understand about that. Because that's where he's holding my spirit. That's why he's holding my mind. That's why he's trying to focus me, because it is something I need to grasp from that. He's passing me this way. Amen? That's why when we started this little inspiration coming from the Philippines, it come in under a certain experience. It come in at a certain junction of our history. It come in with a certain portion of the word. It was word that we already spoke over the years. See, as God unfolding his will and his purpose. But we are traveling a road, and we are standing at a certain place. And we are going through certain experiences at this stage of the journey. Then Father say, now it's time to put you the song here and talk to you about some of these things. That's the way you follow. There are certain type of messages come, and there are certain type of messages that be a junction for the church. Certain type of messages come to boost your faith, help you get things, show you certain attitudes and so on. Then there are certain type of messages is a junction for the church. Remember, at the present stage of my ministry, when he preached things like that, so this is the time. It was junction time. When he preached the ministry of God revealed, junction time. He said, look, the clock stopped there. We are in the 32nd, second bullet is finished. He said, look, sir, is this the thing I've been waiting for all these years? The preparation before the message ended. No, it's time for the message. The voice of the sign is coming forth after the sign. It's junction. When we brought in this, it wasn't a topic. It was junction. Time for this church. And that's why I'm scared if we lose that focus. That's why I'm scared if we go flying away from that objective and lose sight of that. And then you walk in again without understanding, all in choose, and not seeing where to put your foot, how to walk, how to tread here, why this is happening, related consciously. That's why certain ones come into certain experiences in this season too. And I say, watch what they're saying. Watch the attitude. Watch the approach. Look how God moved there. Look how them two men they wrote the message walking. Look at them two sisters fellowshipping. Look at them two brothers in the boat were saying something. Look how the Spirit was moving. Dumb. When you miss that, you miss everything. You could never relate to the inspiration right. Understand that God had to do it for you at your junction. You read about it in the prophet at his junction. You read about Moses at his junction. You read about Abraham at his junction. But God is saying, your junction come now. And the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Joseph is your God and is still the same God. The identified Christ of all ages now being identified in Third Exodus Assembly among the elect. You miss that, you miss everything. You get back to theology. For what we're going through is not a dream. Devils have to anoint people to behave a certain way in a certain season, and the Holy Ghost have to anoint the bride to behave a certain way in the same season. People are only doing things because they've been anointed, and anointing comes by permission. God is the one have to say, let that happen now. Don't frighten. I'm going okay. I already told my brother, I said it's a small exhortation, just to give you a little exposure, a little training, that's all. Amen. I want to get this over to you, settle you. Build your faith and let the healing come after. Let him come and bring the healing. You know, Brother Bramish, you have that? He said, Brother Boss, with them, go before him and just build the people's faith, explain them things, the principles in the Bible. Then he comes. How many believe? You understand the approach? So and so, so. Then the healing starts. So I trust when he comes, all the healing will take place. We're working together. I'm just getting the attitude ready for him. He's a great man here this morning. I'm just the forerunner. Possessing the enemy gates, 1959. In the third Paul, training. A son coming to maturity. Man who lost his wife. Man who lost his child. Man who went for years without the anointing in his life. Man who the preachers was telling him, that of the devil what he believe. Because he's more spiritual than them. You've seen things you couldn't see. He went back and checked the Bible, trying to find out how them things could be. Holy Spirit blowing the pages. He tell his wife, he say, see me, I'm going in before God. I ain't come back out. If I don't come back out, raise the children. I can't live like this. Angel come and begin to say, don't bother them preachers. Begin to show him his life in the Bible. Said about them. Dr. Davis said, no theology. The rest of them is hocus pocus, trying to criticize. He said, you're getting ready for a commission. That's the bride, friends. That's the bride. That's bride seed. If you plant corn and corn need sunlight getting stronger from March to July to ripen it, next time you plant corn seed, you have to get the same spiritual conditions to develop it. Every time you plant it, if you change the climate, it can grow. That is why one thing in the Bible becomes a pattern. You get what I'm saying? It becomes a pattern. When you're the pattern, then you're the pattern for you. You get what I'm saying? I can read about the prophet pattern all. If I can't see mine, I'll be talking about a historical God. Though I'm saying he's the same here today. Because I'm only saying it by learning. I have no life in it when it comes by learning. Because learning is going to replace revelation. But revelation is prevailing power to show you your position. To live in the privilege that God have given you and what he made you to live in. If he make you a fish, he gave you a lot to swim. Because he's going to put you in water. You don't need a lot to fly, you need a lot to swim. If God put you in water and give you a lot to fly, you're wasting your time. You can't survive, you're drunk. What time you get out of the water and try to fly, you suffocate and die. He knows where you're going to put you to live. If God's going to put you in the Laodicea age where hell created on the earth, you have to get a lot to live in there. If God put you in Ephesians when the cup of iniquity is full and you have to rest against principalities and powers to come into your promise, is that right?
then God will have to give you a law of faith. The same kind of law Joshua had, same kind of law Caleb had, same kind of law Moses had. How many know they have that law in them because that was the type? How many know that the same law Abraham and Sarah had? If you don't have it, you wouldn't be changed. Forget it. If you have it in you, when you see that sign, that last sign, and the understanding open, you're coming into a rapture in faith. If you have the law like Caleb and them, you're coming in for your mountain. If you don't have it, if you don't feel you don't have it, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But if you know who you are and you know you have it, you're going to live in it. So what am I saying? You can't sit down there neutral trying to figure out your mind. Something in your heart had to be talking to you and telling you, that is you, that is you, that is you. You are that. And from the time that began to get strong, all the doubt that Satan is bringing and saying, you can't be that. How you can be that? You're not that. You just shut your mouth and you keep pushing them things out away from you. Because you're going to come into that. You get what I'm saying? Remember, the message is what? The key to the door. Remember, if you have a key to your car door or your house door, you don't struggle to go through that door. Every day you take out the key, it opens the door. You see a man with a key fighting up something wrong with the lock. But that man-made business. The one God made and the key God made don't deteriorate. You get what I'm saying? It don't deteriorate. Amen? That's it. So if you say you have the key, which is the revelation, which is faith to unlock the door, and you hold it with a strong hand, then what does that say? Wouldn't you be living in victory every day? Because you have the key. Not if you lost the key or you forget the key. No, I just lost my key many times, you know. My wife just say like to lock up thing too much. But the thing is, I just only lock up what I don't want nobody to tamper with. Waiting God, the man who's wanting the third pull, so he got keys to get in there. He brought back the keys to open the third pull. Have a way to get in. You understand that? How many of you think over the years of sitting hearing the message, you conceived that much? Let me see. How many of you think you conceived that much that is a key to getting there? No, don't feel shame. I don't here to embarrass you. I want to know where to make my emphasis. When I see you get that, I know, okay, you get that. Then I deal emphasize the next part. I ain't here to say, no, I'm not trapped here. I'm not tricks here. I'm here to lead you through. I'm here to make, give you the same thing. Why giving you is why it is used. And what I use is a short eyes what the prophet used. A short eyes what Moses used and Joshua used and Caleb used and Abraham used. I'm positive about it.
And I'm saying nobody never had no franchise on it. It is for all God's sons. And when they're born by the Word and the Spirit, the key drops inside of here. They're born with it inside of them. Amen. They have it in seed form. Glory be to God. Because not a key holds a natural hand, your faith holds that key. Amen. It's a revelation that gives you access to God. It's the thing the devil cannot battle against. It's the thing that makes you talk. How much are you to talk to Satan? You see, the problem is a lot of you say, boy, the devil fight me. The devil telling me something. I know they didn't tell the devil nothing. Once you're a real believer, you'll be talking to the devil. When you talk to him, you let him know, change that tactic. You ain't fooling me with that nonsense. You embarrass him. Amen. You have conversation with him. Not the kind for fellowship. The kind that let him know his place, who to go to with that, to come around you with that. Now, the people who don't talk to Satan, young boys and young girls, and even old people, is the kind who get talking to all kind of wrong things by other people. You get that? Now, that is deep, you're not heavy, you know. God says, you ain't talking to Satan, and so Satan comes to some young boys, and he says, hey, cutie pie. But how are you looking nice, though? I feel like Christmas fall in July. Man, this is the greatest day of my life. You made my day, man. See? And from the time that devil catch you, kind of see the little blood rush to your face, and you kind of feel good about it, that's your foot in the door here. That door can't close no more. You're working your way inside afterwards. But if from the time he did something, you see that righteous indignation get stirred up. But he dropped back 20 feet. And then he gives you enough leverage now. To, amen. Because he puts you in control to drive that thing away from you. And keep charge of your territory. But if you're walking along like, oh, poor me. Pitying yourself. I'm so lonely. I don't know what I'm born for. I don't know why somebody won't love me. I don't know what's the matter with me. Something wrong with me. And you have some inferiority complex or something. That's why you need to get under the Word. Amen. That's when they get in the Holy Spirit and say, my Jesus loves me. Amen. I don't know why Jesus loves me. He sacrificed himself for me. Amen. You tie your soul. Amen. My God shall supply all my needs. And you make it a matter for God to supply for you, not for the devil. You say, those kind of things, Satan, Jesus has given me that. I ain't looking for that, and you can't supply that. Jesus has given me that. Stand to your feet. I tried to read the quote. I can't read the quote because I'm going to make the young man sweat. I know he's itching to come here. I don't even feel bad by the grace of God, so I'm going to let him come. Amen. And may God bless him. I just want to give him a little exposure. That's my job here, trying to train a few more men. We want to go to St. Vincent, different places. We want to see who can, you know, watch the attitude. And the only way I can really do it is to sit and watch them. If I'm not around, and then the boy says, boy, that was great, not powerful. I say, yeah, but he wasn't sent to do that. I sent them to paint the house, and I see them with all kinds of electrical tools. Sent them to mop up the place. And you girls do a little sandpapering. I see them with the spray gun. See, I ought to be around to see what's happening. So to know, because you see, a man building a house does only employ for the stage of the building and what is required to complete the house. You get what I'm saying? Now if we're building other houses somewhere, it's okay. We're only building the house here. Well, then you must know far the house reach, and what needs to be done. So that's how this is home thing. This is home business, this is home circle here. But nevertheless, we are happy by the grace of God. You happy to be here? Yeah. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer and let the musicians get ready. Play something soft for me. I'm so thankful for the grace of the Lord Jesus here this morning. Father, we appreciate your presence. We thank God for flexibility. Lord, where we don't come routine and ritual to our service. Where you can do what you want, how you want, when you want. And we can be flexible to follow your leadership. If we could carry our own selves, Lord, then we wouldn't need a guide. But because we don't know the way, and you know the way, Father, and it's your job to ensure we don't come up lost, we have to follow the pillar of fire. Then, dear God, you know how to lead us and direct us. Remember how you took the spirit off of Moses and put on 70 men when the work was getting greater. Had two young men was prophesying and they finally shouldn't prophesy. But Lord, you say word to God that all man prophesy. We pray, dear God, that our hearts would be large enough, our minds. Lord, we'd be in the right channel. The Lord, we will not just think of this service in one format, but we would see the greatness of God in his own economy, working in the midst of his people, bringing to pass all that he spoke for this hour. As our brother come, Lord, with his little exhortation, may the Holy Spirit just lift him out of himself and move through him, Lord. Now what you have laid upon his heart, Father, will be communicated and would serve to move the people into the position where the needs that they hold in their heart and waiting before you, knowing that you promised to supply these needs, they would find that they are being ministered to, Lord. That the problems are being removed and even the strangers and the visitors, these who you are drawing and come here, Lord, that they could understand at their level. That, Lord God, they'll be considered part of the service and that they will be blessed as well. Be satisfied that you are here among a people. The Lord God, they will not walk away confused and unaffected because we have not represented you correctly, but help us to work in harmony with you that we might represent you before the people, that the people might come into your economy to know your will and to know your purpose. Grant it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and thanks. Bless our brother now and bless him being part of this service and what will happen from here on. We commit into your hands with the assurance and with the confidence that you hear us. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Well, after hearing that.